glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, October 17th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. As our culture moves further and further away from Christian values and practices, how much can Christian leaders do without fear of legal reprisal? Great News Media is hosting two seminars next week to help navigate these shark-infested waters. And to help us out is David Gibbs, Jr. He's a part of the Christian Law Association. Thanks so much for joining us on Mark and Friends.
It's my honor to be with you, Donna.
It's going to be amazing to have you actually in Central Illinois answering questions and interacting with our faith leaders. And the overall goal, isn't it, to bring clarity as to what they can legally speak about through their pulpits?
That's exactly correct. In America right now, we're navigating waters that we've never done before.
Yeah.
The law has changed dramatically. When I started the Christian Law Association 54 years ago, I never dreamed that we would encounter what we're now going through. And we still have some incredible rights, precious rights, that are legally protected in America. But there are challenges to those rights we've never encountered before. And so the purpose of these meetings is to let people know, here with clarity is what the challenges are. But here's the answer, both from the Word of God and from the law, because we still have a great constitution that protects us in living the Christian faith.
What is some of the points that you're going to make? Give us some of the big glaring ones that maybe we're not aware of. And so they're tiptoeing around it, and yet legally they can address it.
Well, number one, we're going to talk about the right of every child of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have challenges about witnessing both in the church and outside the church and through ministries. And those challenges are coming and saying, it's hate speech for you to tell people they won't go to heaven if they don't believe in Jesus. They want to say that should be illegal, especially if you try to give that to children. Now, what we do in Sunday school every week, tell them about the love of God and how God loves them so much and sent his only son to die for them. So that if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they can know that heaven is their home for eternity. Suddenly that is being challenged outright as never before. And so we're going to discuss what are our rights to witness and what are our rights to witness to children across this land. The law protects everybody in their right to witness their faith. And boy, from the Bible in Mark 16, verse 15, we're told to go into all the world with the gospel. And so we're going to discuss that one. A second one is, do we have the right to train up our children, as the Bible says in Proverbs 22, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Every parent has a sacred right when God entrusts them with beautiful children to train them in the ways of Scripture and the ways of Jesus. And what a thrilling thing. I grew up in a Christian home. Where my parents so graciously taught me about the Bible and Sunday school teachers and a pastor that took time to teach us. And now suddenly that's being challenged. What they want to say, and this sounds kind of mystical, children don't really belong to the parents, but the Bible says they do.
Mm.
But they want to say children belong to the government.
Mm-mm.
When they say the children of the state, they really mean the children belong to the state. And they want to say parents don't own the children, the government does, and parents are just a temporary guardian watching over it for the sake of the state. And that's not what the law says, but that's not what they're advancing. So we're going to talk about that. Every parent needs to know their rights as a parent in order to train their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A third one we're going to discuss is our freedom to publicly and privately pray. I am always been mystified. This started probably 25, 30 years ago when we were told you can pray in legislatures and in city council meetings, and you can pray publicly, and you can use the name God or Muhammad or Allah, but you can't use the name Jesus or Jesus Christ. And I always questioned them and said, what are you talking about? How can we not pray in the name of Jesus? And we have had these challenges for a long time, Donna, and now suddenly it's come back to surface again in a big way. And we want everybody to know what their rights are under the law in order to use the name of Jesus. As you read your Bible, boy, especially the book of Daniel, they knew that if they could trap him, it would be when he prayed to his God, because that's the mark of a believer. We're commanded to pray. We're a people of prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe. And now suddenly it's legally challenged, and we have to know our rights. Next one we're going to talk about is the right to live holy. Now, the scriptures are so clear. It says, as our Savior was holy, we're called to be holy. And we're living in a culture that is breaking down and thinks holiness is not only something strange, but should be something illegal, something that we shouldn't allow. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And we find this in school, in the workplace. We get a lot of calls from people in the military and even in libraries. We've got all kinds of library cases now where they're putting literature out there for elementary age children that is profane and not holy at all. And parents are stepping up saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. You can't be giving that to children, to minors. It shouldn't be really for anybody, but for sure not children. And we need to know what our legal rights are as we address a culture that thinks unholy living is fashionable, that thinks violating the word of God is something that everybody should do and be encouraged to do. And yet the scriptures are clear. We're called to be a holy people. The scripture says that we're to eschew evil. And now the culture is exalting evil. And it breaks your heart to watch this happen. Well-meaning people, people that I'm sure mean well on occasion, are sitting there exalting things that break the heart of God. And we want to talk about legally, what can God's people do? What can a pastor do? And we get calls in a large number. We get thousands of calls every year asking for help on these issues. And we're going to talk about them and tell you, here are your rights. And we need to do the right thing the right way. That's been the model of our ministry for 50 years. Do the right thing the right way. And we want to know what our legal rights are so that we protect them. If the Lord tarries his coming, what America are our children going to live in? What is their rights going to be?
And we're going to be protecting them.
That's exactly right. And the reason, Donna, that you and I have rights today is because our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents protected those rights for us. Now it's our turn to protect them and hand the heritage down to our children. That's what these meetings are about.
This is exactly what is needed in our communities so that these congregations can be trained once we get the leadership trained to more boldly defend their faith in the public marketplace. Now, David, you've been at this a long time. You were the founder of the Christian Law Association. For people who aren't familiar with your work, your ministry, just kind of go over some of the basics as to what you've done and your track record.
Well, we've been so blessed to serve God's people. The ministry started with my wife. I had just graduated from law school. 1969, I'm working for a large law firm. And one night while my wife and I were having devotions together, Donna, we got down on our knees to pray, as was our custom. And she said, can I ask you a question, honey? I said, sure, babe, what? She said, do you think God could use you as a lawyer to have a ministry? I said, a lawyer with a ministry? She said, yeah. And I remember what I said. I didn't mean it wrong. I said, honey, I don't think God even likes lawyers all that much, let alone wants to have a ministry. There was a complete disconnect in my mind, a complete disconnect. I said, what do you have in mind? She said, well, if a Christian is ever in trouble for doing what the Bible says they should do, if they're ever in legal trouble, could we tell the Lord that we'd count it an honor to defend them and never make a charge? I said, never make a charge? I said, "You're talking about lawsuits and not charging?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Honey, do you have any idea how expensive lawsuits are?" She said, "No, but I just think if anybody's in trouble, couldn't we ask the Lord we'd like to be used?" I said, "Hun, who do you know's got trouble for the faith? This America, this isn't going to happen here." She said, "I don't know anybody, but if it ever happens, could we tell God we'd like to be used?" And that night, I say this respectfully, I did it for my wife. I mean, it was a burden to her, and I said, "Well, sure, we'll commit to do that," thinking nothing would ever come of it, Donna. That was a Thursday evening. Tuesday morning, I got a call from a pastor, and he said, "I understand you're a Christian." He called me at the law firm. I said, "I am." He said, "Well, I think I've been sued for the faith." I said, "Really?" I said, "I'm sure you're wrong, but bring me your papers. Let me read them." He met me for lunch. I read the papers. I said, "Boy, no question. You've been sued for the faith." He said, "Well, I told you." He said, "Will you defend me?" I said, "Well, I'd count it an honor." He said, "No, I don't have money." I said, "Well, it's interesting. We have a ministry that does this." He said, "You do? What's its name?" I said, "It don't have a name. It does not have a name." He said, "Well, how long have you had it?" I said, "Since last Thursday." And I said, "It was my wife's idea, wasn't mine." And he said, "So I'll be the first case like this you've ever done?" And I said, "Yes, and I want to tell you something. I'm a rookie lawyer. I'm wet behind the ears. I've just graduated from law school." I said, "If you want to get a better lawyer than me, I sure understand, because I don't have hardly any experience at anything." And he said, "No, I think the Lord brought me to you." That lawsuit, Donna, went on for 14 years.
Oh my.
And that gave us the right to have Christian schools in America. And
Oh.
it gave us the right for parents to educate their children. I never dreamed America was going to do what it did. But my wife had a burden. And now, 54 years later, we've had the privilege to do cases in all 50 states, 26 foreign countries, helping God's people be protected when they stand for what is right. The Bible is worth standing for. The faith we're commanded to stand for. The scripture says, having done all to stand, stand fast. I always remind people, we're not commanded to win, we're commanded to stand. Standing is our part. Winning is what God does when we stand. And I love winning, but the passion to stand, that's what's changed our land. And we've got God's people standing for the faith.
Did you have anything to do with Child Evangelism Fellowship?
Yes.
Tell us about
They,
that.
they've done such an incredible work with children. And we've had on numerous occasions calls from them and had the privilege to help them. And their president that led them was such a dear man and friend. And the bottom line is their challenge has always been somebody coming up saying, when you start giving the gospel to children, we don't want you to say that your faith is the only way. It amazes me. Some people say it's okay for you to have it your way, but don't say that's the only way, because we don't want children thinking that. We want them thinking God will accept any way, including doing nothing. And we're saying, but that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." And in courtrooms, we've explained, that's not us saying that. That's the Bible saying that. And boy, we've had people in courtrooms come up to us and say, "I didn't realize that was even in the Bible." I've had several judges say that to me. And yet that is clearly what the scriptures say. That's why it's such a privilege to witness to people, especially young people, because the statistics are so clear. The later people go in life, the less likely they are to change their way. And yet these precious young people have a life ahead of them that they can live for Jesus Christ and know real peace and real joy. It's not just that we go to heaven when we pass from this life. We have the privilege of knowing God here. And there comes joy and peace, and that changes everything.
It really does. My daughter benefited from your work. She was with Child Evangelism Fellowship for 7 years in Chicago and was able to go into Chicago Public Schools and give the gospel. And so
there you go.
I was aware that we had won that Supreme Court case, and I didn't realize that your firm had something to do with that. That's wonderful.
There's always been challenges to the faith. As you read the scriptures, the disciples were all challenged. Jesus was challenged for what he preached. And so it's the truth has always been the subject of challenge. And we got to do the right thing the right way. I always remind people, we don't want to leave a courtroom with making the Lord look bad. My one job as a child of God is to make the Lord look good. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador has one job in this world, and that is to make the person who chose him look good. And when America chooses an ambassador to represent us to a foreign land, they better make America look good, or we're going to bring them off the field and get somebody else. I'm an ambassador. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And our job in those courtrooms and in legislatures is to make the Lord look good. And we don't want our testimony to make the Lord look bad. And so we always try these lawsuits with fervor and with passion, but with love and understanding. We've had many, many people oppose the faith, and we've walked up to them and said, we want you to know we want to do something good for you. We want to share our faith with you, but we want to leave you understanding our Savior loves you, and we want to be a good blessing for you. And the Lord has honored that, Donna. We've had such a privilege to represent God's people. And there's a horrible mistake that gets made. People call us all the time. We get thousands of calls every week. And they say, thank you for your help. I said, no, you have it backwards. I thank you for letting me serve. I owe you for the privilege you give me to help you defend your faith. And I thank you for that privilege. That's what the Christian Law Association is about.
Now, if someone is involved in something that would involve litigation, they can call the Christian Law Association and you will come to their defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We count it a privilege to do so.
Is this free of charge?
It is free of charge. It is free of charge. We are a faith-based ministry. And when you call, no one ever says, do you want to give? We want to encourage you to. In fact, we forbid our lawyers to inquire because we are legal missionaries. We're there to represent their faith and to take a difference to America. It's always been a few that have stood, even through scriptures, a few that stood that made all the difference. And boy, we've watched real heroes of the faith, and what a privilege to represent them as a ministry.
What are some of the big cases that we might be familiar with that you have taken on? You know, Child Evangelism Fellowship, the
huge ones for Christian schools and homeschools. We've done an incredible amount of work in that arena. The right to witness and be able to go forward with the faith. The right to life. We've had all these issues over people that they want to turn off and say their lives aren't worth living anymore. Every life is precious to the Lord. Every life is sacred before the Lord. And we've had the privilege to do that. One of them got an incredible amount of notoriety. And when we defended the Miss Terry, the young lady that they wanted to turn off all the life support on. And the bottom line is America has changed. There was a day when we would walk into courtrooms and the judge would say, I'm not a real spiritual person, but boy, we need the church and we need pastors and we need Christians in America. We need to protect them. We don't get that anymore. Mm-mm. Now suddenly it's a different day. And I'm telling people, this is one of the greatest days ever in the history of our country to be a Christian, because it's so clear what's right and what's wrong. So clear between what the Bible says and what the world is saying. And so there was a day when some of it was very close. Now suddenly the scriptures stand out with great clarity, and we get to defend them. The other thing that I remind people in this is we only get to live one life, and it goes by in a hurry. I'm at the age now where I am dumbfounded how quick life goes by. I always tell people I love teenagers. I just love them because they're so incredibly stupid. Teenagers are precious. And by the way, when we were teenagers, we were just that stupid.
Absolutely.
But a teenager doesn't ever think they'll be age 40. They think between them as a teen and age 40, there's 50 millenniums. And suddenly life starts moving on. You blink your eyes twice as a teenager and you're in your 20s. You blink them again, you're in your 30s. And then I tell them, you don't get to blink your eyes at all after that. Life just whooshes by. And what you're going to do for Christ and the heritage you're going to leave has to quickly be done, because life is just a vapor, the Bible says, here for a short time. And I am so thrilled to see people standing and wanting to protect the faith for their children and for the cause of our nation. And we get to have a part in that. I'm a blessed man.
You are. We're speaking with David Gibbs Jr. He's a part of the Christian Law Association, the founding member of that organization, and a training luncheon is coming into our area. It's going to be Thursday, October the 24th. This is from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. at the Salvation Army in Springfield. Another opportunity on Friday, October the 25th, and that's from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. in Champaign on Market Street. There is a $10 cost for lunch. Otherwise, this is a free event. And again, the reason for this is for church and Christian ministry leaders to really know what is the state and federal law when it comes to conflicts of your faith, what you can, what you can't do, and just to be bolder as we encounter this clash of culture and faith. If you'd like to sign up for this event, you can do so. Go to greatnewsradio.org, or you can go online at wluj.org and click on the Christian Law Association banner, and you'll be able to sign up for this wonderful event. Thank you for giving us your time here on Mark and Friends, and we look forward to your seminar.
I just thank you for the privilege of being able to come to your audience. And once again, thank you for what you do for the Lord's cause.